science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to Think Works, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to talk about something that doesn't get discussed very often in leadership books or workplace advice, but it is discussed as a chapter in my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, from which I've based this episode of Think Works. Now, we spend a lot of time talking about bad management, and rightly so. There are plenty of organisations where poor leadership causes enormous problems. But today I want to flip that conversation slightly, because sometimes the problem isn't management at all. Sometimes the problem is the employees. And I count myself within that as well, because I know that I've got things dramatically wrong in the past. I'll explain some more about that as we go along. So before you switch off thinking I've become anti-worker, therefore, let me reassure you that's not where this is going. This episode is really about identity, behaviour, and how people sometimes end up fighting change simply because it fits the story they tell themselves. They don't do it consciously. It's an unconscious, subconscious reaction to an identity that they have in themselves that makes them react in the way that they do. So I'm going to explain the psychology behind that, and I'm also going to explain how it actually works in practice. So we need to start really with this identity that people have of the workplace rebel. And every workplace has them. People who resist change, they question every decision, they seem almost professionally committed to being difficult. Now, sometimes that resistance is justified. I've given perfect examples of that throughout, not just the book, but also throughout various episodes here in ThinkWorks. But sometimes that resistance isn't justified. Sometimes people resist change even when they can see the benefits. Now, why is that? It's because they have an identity to maintain, and that identity usually falls into one of three categories. First, you've got the moral guardian. These are the people who believe that they are the keeper of the company's ethics and standards. They see themselves as morally superior to the people around them, constantly watching for wrongdoing. And they are really kind of on your case the moment that they think that you have broken that company ethic. The second group are those people that see themselves as defenders of workers' rights. Now, let me be very clear. This isn't an attack on trade unionism. Far from it. Workers absolutely need people willing to stand up for fair treatment, especially as the thrust of business and government these days seems to be to create almost that kind of you turn up for work in the morning and you're picked, and if you're not picked, you're sent home without any pay. We're almost at that stage where there's some really unscrupulous employers, big companies as well, that are just taking the mick. So we do need unions, it has to be said. But some people hide behind that role, not to protect workers, but to justify constant confrontation with the management. And then thirdly, you've got the rebel. This is the person whose entire identity revolves around challenging authority. The problem with that mindset is simple. If you fight change simply for the sake of fighting change, you lose. And not only do you lose, but potentially so does everyone else. So I'm going to give you, I call it in the book, the Colette and Joe example. And it's loosely based on a real life example that I encountered back in the day, many moons ago, it has to be said. But I worked closely with two trade union representatives, and we're going to call them Colette and Joe for the sake of this argument. Colette was excellent. When management introduced changes that genuinely threatened employees' rights, she fought hard for her members. But when changes were sensible, she worked constructively with management. She consulted, she negotiated, she looked for improvements. Management respected her because they knew she wasn't simply operating with hidden agendas. As a result, new ideas and strategies were discussed openly within the business or the organization, and systems improved and changes were implemented smoothly. The workplace environment was cooperative. However, I also worked for a guy called Joe, and he on the other hand was what you might call old school. In Joe's worldview, management was always the enemy. Every change required consultation, ballots, delays, confrontation, and even minor improvements could turn into weeks' worth of arguments. And if those delays meant that the company lost competitiveness or revenue, that simply wasn't Joe's concern. His job, in his mind, was simply to resist. The result of all that was management eventually started bypassing him altogether. They worked directly with employees instead, and that meant everyone lost something valuable, which was genuine dialogue. So I want really for you to ask yourself a question. If you're a member of staff, if you're part of a team, if you're a cog in the wheel, as you might sometimes see yourself, if you're an employee, in other words, of an organization or a business, are you a Colette or are you a Joe? It's an uncomfortable question, I know, and you need to really be honest with yourselves, because you don't need to be union representative to be or behave like Colette or Joe. So, over the last month at work, ask yourself this. Over the last month at work, when change was announced, how did you respond? Did you immediately assume the worst? Did you complain to colleagues about how unfair it all was? Did you ignore the change entirely? Or did you try to see whether there might actually be some benefits? Did you offer constructive suggestions or improvements? Or did you simply criticise? It's an important distinction, because the reality is, there are plenty of good management teams out there. Not every executive is plotting how to exploit the workforce. There are some great managers out there, and there are some good companies who look after their staff as well. But if you're someone who sees management as the enemy, you're not going to really work well within that context. Many employees genuinely want to build organizations that succeed, and success benefits everyone, including the employees. But if your approach is always confrontational, you may unintentionally create the very us versus them environment you claim to oppose. So I guess it comes down to this whole idea of collegiate or confrontational. Are you collegiate or are you, as I've just said, confrontational? A collegiate employee engages with change. They ask questions, they offer suggestions, they try to improve the system. A confrontational employee blocks, delays, criticizes, often without offering any solutions at all. And the difference between these two approaches can have enormous consequences for any organization. And sometimes the difference is simply a shift in mindset. So I want you to really reflect on that, and if you find yourself constantly clashing with management, it might be worth asking a different question. Is the problem truly them, or could it be your approach? And be honest, because identity is a powerful trap. If you get stuck in that trap, then you will always be confrontational, and in the long run, you're damaging not only your own prospects, but the prospects of those around you, your fellow employees, and the organization itself. If you see yourself as a rebel or the defender or the moral guardian, you may end up defending the identity that you've just adopted rather than actually helping your organization succeed. Now, later in my book, You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, I talk about the importance of mavericks in organizations. Mavericks are not the same thing as troublemakers. And I need to make this really important distinction for you. A maverick, and if you see yourself as a maverick, then this is how you should behave. You need to challenge ideas with purpose. That's the key thing. A troublemaker challenges everything without one. The two roles do look similar on the surface, i.e. that of a maverick or that of a troublemaker. One builds organizations, the maverick. One slowly tears them apart, the troublemaker. So the next time change appears in your workplace, pause for a moment and ask yourself, am I reacting out of principle or am I simply protecting an identity that I hold for myself? Because the difference matters a lot. Now, I'll be coming back to the Maverick Principle in a future episode. So I am working through U 2.0, Build Yourself Better, chapter by chapter, for the ones that I haven't already done episodes on. And when I get to the Maverick Principle, this will be obviously discussed in more detail because it's more important in many ways than any of the three categories that I've mentioned, the rebel, the moral guardian, or the defender. They are really three negative identities that you can hold and are truly damaging to an organization. But if you adopt a maverick stance, if that's the identity that you want to hold, you can actually do a massive amount of good for any organization that you work for, because you come at change with a positive mindset that is looking for ways to improve for the better. And that's a much better identity to take on for yourself. But as I say, we'll discuss that in more detail when we get to that point in the adaptations that I'm doing of the book for these episodes of ThinkWorks. Now, as always, there will be a post for today's show in the community group. If you go to darreninform.com and look for the community group, go in there, though, you'll find that there's a post for the ThinkWorks recent, I think it's called, is the channel, and you go into there and you can make your own comments about any experiences that you've had with dealing with troublemakers and what problems they've caused you. Ask any questions. If you've answered some of the questions that I've asked and gone, do you know what, actually I do sometimes behave like that, but you want to change for the better, then just tell me and I will give you the strategies that you can use to do that. The book does talk about some of those, as I've said, but if you want some quick answers, I can do that in the community group. So come and join me there and we'll have a discussion. In the meantime, everyone, please keep asking questions. Next week, we've got another in our Adventures in Comics for you geeks and nerds. And we're going to talk about the history of the pulp hero and the greatest influencers on comicdom today that no one's ever heard of, or at least modern comic book readers and moviegoers have forgotten all about or have never even learned about in the first place. So we'll talk about things like Doc Savage and the Shadow and the Avenger and Sherlock Holmes, and we'll explain why everything that comics and movies, superhero movies, do today came from that root, the pulp magazine. So come and join us for that next week. Me and Chris, we're gonna have it's a fun discussion. I've got to edit it down, but it'll be good fun. But in the meantime, as I say, folks, keep watching out for these chapter adaptations that I'm doing in ThinkWorks, and keep asking questions, and I'll see you all very soon. Bye for now.
Would like to find out more or to join in the conversation, each episode of ThinkWorks has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/community and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching at Darren Inform for news, tips, and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.